and the millions watching around the world.
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh, now, here's Jim Coyle.
Hey, everybody. Welcome aboard. How are you today? Glad to have you, no matter where or how you're listening. Love to have you and see that you're helping us make it through this short week. Man, this is just a blessing of a week, super short week with Thanksgiving coming on Thursday. So that makes things just peachy wonderful. Plus, you've got plenty of action going on tonight. Indiana on the hardwood, taking on Kansas State in a true test, probably their first true test of the season. We'll talk more about that. As well, Indiana football back to the field this weekend as well on a Friday night tussle with the rival Purdue as the Hoosiers looking to close out a 12-0 regular season, a historic season for the Indiana Hoosiers. Back-to-back historic seasons, to be honest with you. And if it ended today, it would be historic, especially if it ends Friday night. If it ended Friday night, it would be historic. 12-0 regular season. I mean, spectacular. Congratulations. Of course, they haven't gotten there yet. They've got to win that game, of course. But, yeah, exactly. But bigger things coming up for them as the Big Ten Championship rolls right around. Now, luckily, yesterday, we met with Kurt Cignetti, and the first thing he announced was that getting some of the guys back that they've been missing, guys like Elijah Surratt, of course, Mikel Kamara. No word on Drew Evans yet. That one, I don't know if they bring him back for the Big Ten Championship to get knock the rust off. I don't know. Or do you save him for three more weeks to let him rest? Whatever. Obviously, the injury that he sustained was one that has kept him out for quite some time, and he needs all the healing he can get. So we'll see about that. Russell says he got 4 inches of snow expected up in the fort. Yeah, you can keep that snow, my brother. No, thank you. Although I did go to the store yesterday and acquire the ingredients needed to make my chili. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I stepped up this year, the beef. Going with the ground chuck brisket. Yeah. Got to add that flavor in there, baby. A little flavor. But that's going to happen this weekend. I'm probably planning on that for Saturday. Football, chili, Sunday, better chili, leftover, day older. Yeah, that's the stuff right there, baby. How about the Heisman Trophy race? A lot of talk about Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame. If he was not at Notre Dame, he would not be getting this buzz. Brian pointing out three players have decommitted from Indiana, a quarterback, wide receiver, and could it be IU found better players? Yeah, probably. I don't think that there's an issue with Indiana's recruiting right now. It's going in the opposite direction. But, yeah, the Heisman Trophy race, Jeremiah Love, Julian Sayin, got some really nice numbers, but just it's his is more about being on a really good team. I truly believe Jeremiah Love is a great player. Do not get me wrong, but I still going with Fernando. Fernando's just got to play, man. Hey, Fernando's just got to be Fernando. Fernando. The bucket game coming up this weekend. Indiana looking to go 12-0 in West Lafayette. I wonder how many Indiana fans are actually going to be at West Lafayette's Ross-Ade Stadium instead of seeing the black and the gold there. I think there's going to be quite a few. Kurt Cignetti did not want to hear anything other than Purdue. We also heard from Darren DeVries as the Hoosiers get ready to play. We'll hear a little bit from him on the way out here. And back with Mike DeCourcy.
Have you noticed any common themes when you've had these, when you hit the actual season, when you've had these kind of rebuilds?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you're learning a lot every time you step out on the floor, whether it's practice, games, whatever. They're just a different situation that every individual on the team, you don't know how they're going to react to because you haven't coached them together before. So those are things early in the year that you figure out a lot very quickly, and you can't really simulate it until you start to play games. And every situation you get put in is something new for the group. So there's a lot of learning opportunities, as we go along. And you have it all the way through the year, like you continue to grow and get better. But I think it's especially true with a brand new team because you just don't have the data to go like, how they're going to respond to a 2-point game or – this certain style of play or whatever it may be.
Indiana coach Darren DeVries as Indiana gets on the floor tonight, taking on Kansas State. We're back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Tuesday of a shortened Thanksgiving holiday week. Welcome in Mike DeCourcy. Happy Thanksgiving to the DeCourcy family, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Jim. I hope everything goes well on your holiday.
Appreciate you, sir. Any favorites for Thanksgiving out of the, instead of just the turkey and the normal stuffing, anything out of the ordinary?
Nah, I'm not one of those green bean casserole people or yams or any of that. Oh,
green bean casserole, man, that's like a staple.
It is a staple. So are those candied yams with the marshmallows everybody likes.
I'm so much on that. That funky stuff like that. And what's the deal? Sound like Jerry Seinfeld. What's the deal? What's the deal with that? What's the deal with the cranberries? Nobody eats cranberries. What? why? Who the hell? Nobody eats cranberries all year long, but all of a sudden for this nice meal, we're going to eat cranberries. I never got. I was like, no, thank you. All that color, all that bright color, that green stuff. I'm like, that looked like it grew on Mars or something. I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah. The stuff that's in the jar, the can, I'm not sure how popular that is, but the compotes and the things that
spam.
No, the cranberries in the can, where you can see the lines from the can all the way down that. But now they've got these more sophisticated compote type things that are popular. But again, not for me either. I'm not the biggest, like turkey's fine. Mashed potatoes are fine. Stuffing's fine if it's done right. But it's not like, it's not my big favorite thing in the, I've always thought Thanksgiving was a little bit overrated as a holiday. Sometimes, like people try to say it's better than Christmas or whatever, but no, man, that ain't so. Turkey versus getting presents. I'm going for the presents.
Yeah, definitely that. And turkey is something you have to do right. And if you don't, half the time it's dry, and it's like, dude, make it right, or just get something that you don't have to work so hard at. A ham. Or chicken, I don't care. Fried chicken, fish for all I care. I don't care. I'm not that particular, but I do love. Since I don't eat those kind of meals normally, I do love mashed potatoes, green beans, corn, and I do like the green bean casserole. It's got the little crunchy onions in it. You got to have the crunchy onions in it, baby. Oh, yeah. I use those in a lot of stuff, as a matter of fact. Not kidding. But, yeah, looking forward
to it. The one thing about Thanksgiving that is superior to Christmas, one thing that is definitely superior, Jim, is they hoop on Thanksgiving. They play college hoops on Thanksgiving. They do not play it on Christmas for the most part. There have been some games out in the Diamond Head or whatever they eventually changed the name of the Diamond Head to. But that's the one thing that it has.
More of an NBA. It's more of an NBA day.
Yeah, well, it's NBA. NBA regular season games. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's 80 of them. You know, it's not
nobody
enough to cares. Take me away from the family. Carolina versus Michigan State on Thursday, that might do it.
And is that in basketball?
Yes.
Not in football.
Point. Yes.
Yeah. Glad you brought that up. The Big Ten, I've talked about, we don't know what they're really going to be like this. Well, kind of getting an idea pretty quick. They're looking pretty damn good at the top, man. There are multiple teams that are very talented. Purdue, I'm going to give them their flowers, man. I'm going to put them at the top of the top of that group right now for what I've seen. They play very well. They're playing really well together. And the law firm of Fletcher and Lawyer are knocking it down from outside and looking very confident. Braden Smith has never looked more confident. He actually looks, and this is going to sound like I'm making fun of him, but he looks like he went from being a boy to a man over the season, because he's got a little facial hair. He looks like he's got some maturity to his face. Now, Fletcher Lawyer still looks like he's waiting to graduate high school, with nothing wrong with that. That's going to bode well for him throughout the years, but it just looks like this young kid. But don't leave him alone, because he's a lethal little SOB if you leave him out there by himself.
That shot, he's always been a fine shooter, but you can see as it goes through the bucket now, Jim, he's really got it. He was always an outstanding college shooter, but I think he's gone to elite. I think he's gone
wanting
to
the. It. You can tell he's wanting it.
Yeah, I can see like that. He's always been the kind of player who gets on heaters. Fletcher has. And he did that in a lot of big games. I remember, I think it was a holiday type tournament 2 years ago when he was a sophomore, the year they went to the championship game, where he had a huge day against Arizona. And I remember that and thinking of him as in that aspect. Now, I mean, look at his numbers. The last 2 years, he shot 44%. So I'm not saying he wasn't a great shooter, but his volume is up in terms of made threes. He's on pace to make, in the past 2 years, he's made 75 and 63. He's on pace to make well more than 100 this year. And he's shooting nearly 50%. He's at 47.5%. There's nothing about his stroke that says that's going to go. Now, he'll have a tough night here and there. But I think he's really dramatically improved as a shooter from a guy who, like I said, was already terrific. I think he's gone to elite. What I see when I watch him play now and I see the way the ball comes off his hands and the way it goes into the bucket, I say, you can play in the league with a shot like that. And I don't know that I thought a lot about that with him prior to this year. But with the way the shot gets off and his size, you can play in the NBA with a shot like that.
He's got an advantage over Braden Smith, to be honest with you, with that height. He's got that. I mean, what is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yes, 6'4", 6'5". I will say this. If Braden Smith had his height, Braden would already be in the league like 2 years. I mean, that's the reality. Yeah. With his ability to pass the ball, to set up offense, I mean, he'd be what we envision now Michael Brown to be, where he would have been a couple of years ago. The terrific point guard at Louisville who will be in the NBA next year. He would have been that as a freshman or sophomore, and he'd be long gone. And if he were that, let's say, and Purdue recruited him, they might have won in 2024. And not that Braden was deficient, but if you were that guy, all of a sudden maybe the floor tilts a little bit in your direction But he is who he is, and I still think that Braden's going to have a very long NBA career. Whether he's a starter or a reserve depends on what sort of team he gets on and surrounded by. But he's going to have a long career, and I think he's going to be a very valuable player in the NBA.
Well, that'll be very important to see if that actually comes to fruition on whether or not they can make it to the championship or win the championship this year. But is he the NBA guy, like you said, or is it someone else? I don't know that Trey Kaufman Wren is. I don't know that he has the shot with his position to make it. But hey, I'm not going to say anybody can't make it. I didn't think Trace Jackson Davis would really make it, but he has clawed his way through.
That's why you have me on.
It's exactly he clawed his way, but I admit it. Hey, when I'm wrong, I admit it right off the bat. He's clawed his way. He's found his niche. He's done the things he needs to do and fill roles for the team that perfectly. And hey, man, that happens for other guys, and so it can happen if you will it. It will be, or something like that, as Eddie Murphy said in the movie Life. Indiana back on the hardwood tonight, and they have not exactly been lighting it up, either from shooting or just moving the ball and sticking. It's like they've kind of played down to their competition a little bit. But tonight and going forward, You would think that you wouldn't have to worry about that with knowing Kansas State's coming in, and then you got to play Louisville and you got to play Kentucky and then the Big Ten tournament or Big Ten play. So you would think, but there's going to be nights and you've got to play at your zenith level or you're going to go down because they are going to play at their zenith.
Yeah, I think that this is good for them. I think there might be a little bit of competitive jealousy in a sense. In the Hoosiers play, we're playing Lindenwood, they're playing Alabama. And I think that when you're a competitor, sometimes you want to get going. And I understand why they kind of front loaded the warm-up games. They did play Marquette and handled that beautifully. But a lot of the warm-up games are in front so they can try to work out things and figure out who they are. Everybody's new. I don't have a problem with how they scheduled, but I think their players might have gotten a little bit itchy to play a game like tonight's. And so this comes at an ideal time for them. And maybe in a couple of weeks, they'll be wishing they were playing Lindenwood because they've got that really difficult stretch. But it's also the stretch I think is set up for them ideally because the two Big Ten games they start with, although at Minnesota will not be easy, it's never been easy to play at the Barn. And this is not a poor Minnesota team. It's just not like the same as going to, I don't know, Purdue or Michigan right now. And then they have Penn State at home. So in terms of what you might get in your first couple conference games, it's probably about as good a situation as you could expect to try to get going. And that competitive jealousy thing I talked about before, you can't do that in a league game, man. I don't care if somebody else is playing Purdue and somebody else playing Michigan and Michigan State or UCLA or whatever. You're playing a league game. You got to go. And so Minnesota, followed by Louisville, followed by Penn State, followed by Kentucky. That stretch is going to say a lot about where these Hoosiers go this year. And then tonight is going to be really important to them as well. They don't have to go to Manhattan to play it. So this is a game in which they need to give an A effort and they should be prepared to give an A effort.
Yeah, because this league is going to be tough. Like I said at the top, I didn't know what it was going to be like. And I wasn't going to try to guess until now. I'm like, oh crap. Teams like Nebraska look formidable. Yes. And forget about Michigan State and Michigan and Purdue and Illinois and UCLA that we know are going to be good. Yes. Then it's like, okay, well, then who's going to – Nebraska's looking tough. you just mentioned Minnesota playing. Ohio State is another team that has been quietly loading up with talent. And so it's going to be a very interesting. Oregon, Washington has been.
Washington's better. Much improved from last year.
So this is going to be a dangerous league, Mike.
Yes. To date, they are 88-12 against outside competition. And that's not all Incarnate Word. There's a lot of high quality wins in there. We mentioned Purdue's, Michigan State's had several. They've taken out Arkansas. You look at UCLA has played some highly competitive games, really did as good a job against Arizona as just about anybody. You've got a lot of quality there. And so you're going to have to be, as I mentioned before, you asked me a few weeks ago, what would be a good season for this group or a target for this group at Indiana? And I said, if you finish in the top nine, you're in contention for the tournament. I'm not far from saying if you finish in the top nine, you're going to make it. I'm not far from that. I think we got to get through a few more weeks at this level or close to it for the Big Ten to be in that position. But I'm not far from it. The league is really performing. And again, that can turn on a dime. I mean, you could start losing all the tough games you're winning now. It can happen.
Iowa.
Iowa's another team that's playing well. Absolutely. Like I said,
and scoring points. They're not going to be your old grandpa's Iowa team, like I thought that they might be. They're scoring points, man.
They are, but they are another team that has yet to take a significant step up in class, which will happen today as well for them. It's a huge day in college basketball, a huge day in the Big Ten. They will play Ole Miss in California this evening at 9:30, and then they get the holiday break, and then they start up next Tuesday, their Big Ten. You know, I talked about getting eased into the Big Ten at Minnesota and Penn State. How about you ease into the Big Ten with at Michigan State? That's what Iowa has. Yeah. So they got to get going pretty quick too.
Yeah, that'll introduce you to hello, how are you? Welcome to the Big Ten. Yes. So especially with another team that Tom Izzo has rolling, but you mentioned, man, another fun schedule of games today, which that's, you mentioned it. All through Thanksgiving weekend, just pick a day, man. It's like shut your eyes and just point, and you can probably find a great game. And then you've got football mixed in with that. Great college. It's rivalry weekend, college football. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about that when we come back, and the college football playoff CFP poll. The latest one will be out tonight. Probably not a lot of change coming, but there you go. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News is with me. You should be giving him a follow. If not, do it right now. Back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Tuesday. Jim Coyle with you as always. The great Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News with me as well. Tonight, the latest college football playoff poll comes out, and not a lot of change expected, although the big question comes this Saturday with Lane Kiffin. Does he stay or does he go? This is a weird deal. It's like all of football is kind of holding onto this pendulum right here because of Ole Miss heading to the college football playoffs. And then what does that do if he announces he's going to leave? I'm sure that they would let him coach because they still want to succeed, but it's just a weird situation. Then you've got players that are playing for you and you're leaving. It's just, there's a whole mental thing that goes into it. And I've heard coaches talk about Nick Saban talked about it just this past weekend, but we've seen it recently in past years in bowl games when Indiana would have a coordinator that was leaving, when Kalen DeBoer was leaving, and I think they were playing Ole Miss, as a matter of fact, ironically, got the crap kicked out of them. when Kane Womack was leaving. This is a defensive boy. It doesn't work out for whatever the your head's not there because you're somewhere else and all that, and you know what I'm talking about. But this is kind of a weird situation for the biggest prize in college football.
Yeah, this is different to me, Jim, than Kalen DeBoer or someone like that getting the chance to be a head coach, and not coaching in a bowl game that doesn't really mean anything. This is a real deal. This is a real championship that Ole Miss has an opportunity to win, and Lane is looking out for Lane, which, of course, is exactly who he is. It's as on-brand as anything could ever be. But it's also, if you are Florida or LSU, this is how broken you are, okay? You would want someone who would leave a championship contender to work for you. Like, that's the last person I want to coach my team. Is a guy who would, I don't know, let's just say the Kansas City Chiefs call. Like, who's to say he won't leave you at the altar because you're only LSU or Florida? I mean, it's exactly what's wrong with the coaching culture, so to speak. And I don't mean the coaches themselves. I mean the idea that coaches are disposable in the way that that all, you know, I think we've had 8 Power 5 coaches fired in this season. Now, a lot of them were going to get fired at the end of the year anyway, and maybe all 8 of them would have gotten fired at the end of the year. But the need to fire them on the spot because you're mad you lost this game. I mean, my goodness, Florida fired a guy because they were mad they didn't win by enough. Yeah. What is that? Why would you want to coach at a place like that?
Nick Saban this past weekend said, this is not a Lane Kiffin issue. This is a college football issue. And,
oh, come on. He's just passing the ball.
I think he was talking about the timing of it. You've got the portal.
That's life. That's sports. You don't get off because, oh, well, it's the middle of the year. And this, like, you can just say, I'm not interested. You can say, you know what? I'm coaching Ole Miss. I'm coaching the Rebels. If by some chance you want to call me on January 20th after we win the national championship and hire me then, if you want to wait that long, I might listen. I might listen. If you don't want to wait that long, go hire somebody else. That's what he would do if he had integrity.
Yeah, but it also puts both at a disadvantage because of the portal, because of all that stuff. I know it's life and it's how it's set up at the moment, but it's like Bo Pribula when he left Penn State last year in the middle of the damn CFP, I think.
Because
the portal was open and he had to get in the portal.
It wasn't just the portal being open, though, Jim. It's also college. Like, you have, if you're going to be a college football player, you have to get enrolled in college. There are so many people that are around college football that think you're going to fix the transfer portal situation by changing the timing on it. You're the ones that want them in spring practice. You're the ones that need them there to train under your weight trainers. And you're the ones that presumably understand that if a guy's going to be in college football, he's got to be in college. So our semester opens on January 10th. So when else are you going to do it?
I don't know that he leaves, to be honest with you, because they're all offering the same salary in essence. They've all pretty much said that. They've all said they're going to give pretty much the same in NIL. Now, does that mean that LSU can't bump that up after the fact more than say Ole Miss can? I don't know what the situation is for Ole Miss. I don't know that they've got a whole bunch of billionaire donors behind them, but I know LSU would hire Al Capone to coach if they thought they could get him to win. I come up with some good ones every now and then.
That was good.
But I think it's true. I mean, I think you think of Louisiana, man, just go back to Huey Long, just the whole history of the state. And then it was topped off beautifully by the governor 2 weeks ago or whatever. Oh. And this AD, now he's not going to pick the next coach. We're going to get us a good coach. Coach is going to win down there. Now he's not going to pick. We're going to, no, he's not going to pick that next coach. What in the hell is that? Why is the governor of the state going on a sports show talking, and rightfully so, maybe because the damn AD got fired the next day, but that you want to talk
about. Why did that happen?
You want to talk about airing your dirty laundry? Unbelievably, LSU cracks me up. It is constant. You go back to Miles and our old buddy, Ed Ogeron. Hey, where's the check? Where's the door? He good. He's ready to go. And so they're just a cast of characters. They could do an entire show on the history of LSU, just a cast of characters that I think would be hilarious. It'd be a great sitcom.
I kind of think my vision was more like a one man show, somebody playing all those characters, like some super talented actor, you know, like that could pull off all those voices and all the that would be pretty
Jim
awesome.
Jim Carrey.
There you go. Somebody like that.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. Jim, if Kiffin didn't want to move, he'd have shut it down by now. He has every opportunity. Like any minute he can call.
He could get the raise right now.
Say, this is not happening. He's not.
Or he could get the raise. He could say, all right, Ole Miss, I'll take the raise from you and blah, blah, blah.
He doesn't want to do that because he doesn't want to turn down the opportunity to coach at one of those two places that are absolutely producing more talent than in terms of football than Mississippi is. Partially it's population. Mississippi doesn't have as big a population as Florida does. Partially it's just the nature of the talent production system, how they're grown, how they're trained in the various areas. I mean, Louisiana has been a absolute marvel. Plus there's the proximity to Texas as well. And so there are advantages to coaching at LSU, but what is often missed, and I think that is that there tend to be reasons why certain programs have coaches, a lot of coaches, and certain programs don't have a lot of coaches. And I want to coach at one of the places that doesn't have a lot of coaches, that is going to appreciate what I do and appreciate it more when I do the best of me. Matt Painter at Purdue is a perfect example of that. There were a few years ago when they lost that game to Fairleigh Dickinson, when there were people, there was no doubt on social media, guys who were and ladies who were Purdue fans saying, that's it, I'm done. And then the next year they come back and they're in the biggest game and win the Big Ten and they're in the biggest game. And then they come back the next year and almost get to the Elite Eight with a transitional team. And now they're ranked number one. And so, those are the kinds of places you want to work. I mean, since 1980, basically, or 81, I guess, 80, 81, I think was Gene's first year. They had two guys. That's 45 years. That's the kind of place that you prefer to work because they understand how to make their program work. I don't think that like Florida is firing guys every 15 minutes. Yeah. You're Lane Kiffin. You think you're going to walk in and fix all that, and maybe you will, but maybe you won't. But you fix it where you are, and they're going to appreciate it.
Which do you think is more appealing to him, and why?
If I had to guess, I would guess it's LSU. Because Florida has more competition in state, more competition from outsiders. Louisiana kids, when they're great and you want them to stay, most often stay. I think that is a reason as well. And I like the proximity to Texas because it gives you the opportunity to pick off guys, that sort of thing. But you look at Jamar Chase. That's the kind of guy that he grew up in Louisiana, became a Tiger. Now he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. That's the kind of person that you have the opportunity to be first in on if you're the LSU coach. So if I had to guess, that's where he announces that he's headed whenever he deigns to make an announcement.
And then then what happens with the CFP sitting out there, does Ole Miss let him coach, which I assume that they will because that they want to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, if he's willing, and you know, remember, that may not be, that may be something, you know, that LSU's not cool with or Florida's not cool with, and it may come down, the choice between the two of them may come down to which one of them is willing to let him coach there. I will tell you this, Jim, if he walks away from a playoff team, I mean, this is not walking away from a bowl game. This is walking away from the real thing. I don't know that you could lose. You know, most, there's a lot of people who've already lost a ton of respect for him for how he's comported himself through the years. But if you walk away from a championship contending team, I don't know that you can do anything. There are things on the other side of the line that you can do that are worse. But it, on the right side of the line, on the football side of the line, where it's just about X's and O's and coaching and all that, I don't know that you can do anything much worse than walk away from a championship contender to get a better job.
And he had really, to me, had kind of gotten past all of the Lane Kiffin-isms of prior, of getting fired on the tarmac, of job jumping, you know, whatever you wanted to throw in there. You know, the youth, you know, he seemed to have grown up. But, and then, is it fair that he gets, you know, castigated because he's moving to a greater job?
Yeah, it's fair, Jim, because he's going to get paid where he is. And because he has a team that legitimately could win a championship, whether they're the highest contender or whatever, you know, who knows? Ohio State looks like a machine, but Ohio State has not played the most other machines, as it were. It just happens that their schedule has not been particularly daunting. Indiana looks fantastic, but their biggest challenge comes presumably in a couple of weeks. That Oregon win is as good as anybody's best win this year. No doubt. But they haven't had to stretch themselves a lot in other weeks. The better teams in the league, Michigan, SC, they haven't had to play them. And Penn State, that game for both Penn State and Indiana was supposed to be a tough one, but bottomed out. And part of the reason it bottomed out was because they decided to dismiss their coach. So at Texas A&M, we saw needed a miracle comeback to beat a 4-7 team. So the point I'm making in all that is that those teams could all win the championship. They're all terrific, but they also could be had by somebody like Ole Miss.
I'm glad you bring that up. I saw a lot of when Texas A&M made that comeback against South Carolina, which was at home, by the way, and they were down 30-3. All I heard was, wow, what a comeback by Texas A&M. Wow, what a marveling, what amazing. And I'm like, they were getting their ass kicked by one of the worst teams in the league. They should have been coming back. They had nothing else to do. Why is it so wonderful that you're coming back against a terrible team? Now, when you're having one of those days, I get it. It does make sense. And getting the win is getting the win. It's just like Indiana at Penn State.
Right.
At least Indiana's was on the road in front of 102,000 people. So, a little bit of difference there. But, again, it's so funny how Indiana survives. Texas A&M, oh, wow.
Rampage back, man.
Great stuff. Great stuff. What's next for you, brother?
Well, actually, I have a column up right now about the college football playoff. You mentioned the rankings that are going to come out tonight. I think that what the rankings show, Jim, is and what this season is showing is that we need a bigger playoff. Maybe not a whole lot bigger, not the 22 team. But I think that the modern college football, what the current playoff system doesn't take into account is what college football, the direction college football is evolving. And that's Indiana's the best example of that. Indiana 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 11-0 Indiana 5 years ago, 10 years ago, come on. And now because the talent can be spread more evenly, and because if you are a smart, sharp administration, you can go out and you can find yourself the Kurt Cignetti who can turn your Indiana into a national championship contender. And there are a lot of teams like that are like Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt probably deserves a spot. But in a 12 team, it's going to be a hard squeeze. But in a 16, they'd be in, and they would deserve to be in. Now, of course, they have to beat Tennessee this weekend to deserve it. But I think by the end of the weekend, you're going to see a lot of two-loss teams that might get left out, or there'll be even a bigger crowd of three-loss teams that are going to be hard to distinguish among. That might, and one of them might need to fill the end of the field. I think that 16 is a good number for the playoff, as long as you keep automatic qualification. And I think that's the direction that the playoff people, the conferences should consider going.
I'm in agreement with that. I think 16 is the number. You don't need more. And those extra four will allow those few teams that get left out because of guaranteeing that the group of five team gets in, guaranteeing that all conference champions get in when there are years like the ACC not being worthy of being in, possibly. We don't know that just yet until the rankings finalize themselves, but there's a possibility. But,
you know, look at the rankings, Jim. What are they basing it on? I mean, you know, look at Notre Dame.
It's all subjective, baby. It's all subjective.
Oh, it's never been more subjective, or at least the consequences of that subjectivity have never been more apparent. Notre Dame is number nine comfortably in. Their opponents, I mean, they have. First of all, they not only lost head-to-head to Miami, but Miami's opponents are 41 and 47 overall. Notre Dame's are 45 and 53. So, I mean, where's the strength in what Notre Dame has accomplished? Notre Dame's best win still to date is USC at home. Their second best win is Pitt on the road. I mean, that's a top 10 team, because we look at them and they look good while they're crushing Syracuse. Come on. You're guessing. They are guessing. That's what they're doing. They're guessing. And that should not be involved in the appointment of championship contenders. Would they be comfortably in a 16 team field? Doggone right they would be. And I'd be fine with that. But if they make it and Miami doesn't, when Miami beat them. Now, of course, Miami has to go out and beat Pitt on the road this week as well. But if they get in over a 10-2 Miami, it'd be a colossal mistake and a total miscarriage of justice.
Your colleague Bill Bender will join us later. We'll talk some.
And he's going to disagree with me, so it's what we did.
I have a blast. I love having him on. He is such a blast. Yes. He will laugh, and he seems to enjoy it. But looking forward to that, and look forward to seeing what he has to say, because everybody's got a different opinion on this. That's what's making it so much fun. Mike DeCourcy, make sure you go to the Sporting News and check out his piece right now. Why expand the college football playoff? It's right there. He'll tell you why. Appreciate you, my friend. Jim. Thank you, sir. Hey, we've got more coming up. J.D. Campbell will join us next. And in addition to that, Bill Bender, like I said, he'll join us later on. We've got plenty more to talk about. Back with all that and more after these messages.
I think, again, it's just giving your guys the utmost confidence in them, and just, encourage them to keep doing what they do. I actually would almost go the other way sometimes. If like, you can't pass that one up, I don't care that you missed six in a row. Like, you're too good a shooter for us to, we can't draw up a play to get you that open of a shot. So if that seventh one presents itself, shoot it again. And that's the way you have to approach it. And I think all guys that, played the game, they're shooters that you just know that's how you have to be. I think it's true in a lot of sports. If you get them start, baseball, the greatest hitter in the world, get out 70% of the time, and that's just, you're going to miss in basketball. That's okay. Keep staying confident, keep trusting your work.
Hey, welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Coach Darren DeVries of Indiana talking about the other night specifically, but when his guys like Lamar Wilkerson or Tucker DeVries or whomever not hitting, keep shooting, baby. He's got the green light for everybody. And speaking of green light, got one for J.D. Campbell. Bing, he's in. How are you doing, sir? Well, happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm doing fantastic. Today we're going to just kind of relax around the house and get packed and drive up to Detroit for that Lions-Packers game on Thursday.
So you get to go to the – are you going to the game?
Of course. I wouldn't go to Detroit just to go to Detroit. I love Detroit. But we're gonna have Thanksgiving. First off, it's my wife's birthday on Thursday. Happy birthday, my dear.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And she always complained that her birthday is on Thanksgiving, you know, around there a lot. And, you know, Thanksgiving brings a lot of memories to me, obviously being, you know, growing up in a household of like 22, 24 people at a time. Back in Las Vegas, you know, a lot of big memories for that. But for us, we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner with Chris. We're going to go to Fresh Time and pick something up, get into break into his apartment and cook a dinner and then go back to our hotel and get up 8 a.m. and or leave at 8 a.m. And they've got a big parade down there. It's called America's Parade. So it's not Macy's, but it's supposed to be an unbelievable festival down there. And so instead of the summer clothes that I wore to go to the first two games I went to, now I've got double secret thermal underwear.
Because
Thanksgiving always seems to be the time of year where the weather really changes nastily.
Yeah, sneaks up on you. It'll jump from one side to the other. Detroit, yeah. One of these teams, man. If you've grown up watching football on Thanksgiving, you've seen the Lions play, and they used to suck when I was growing up. But now, buddy, it's not so much. And this is also going to be a great matchup with the Packers at 1 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, well, we go into the stadium as soon as it opens. So I've got about 3 hours to get my walking in, and I do. I have a different route that I try to go.
So here. You go in just now. What stadium do they play in now?
Ford Field.
That's right. Did they tear the Pontiac Dome down?
Yeah, I did. I did get to go to one game in the Silver Dome when I first went to Bowling Green. And I'm going to send you a picture, Jim, and I don't know, you can do whatever you do with it, but I got a picture of my family, December 26, 2003, at Ford Field. We were in the Motor City Bowl and we beat Northwestern for the second time. I'll send it to you and then you can post it up. But
so Indiana was playing Northwestern in a bowl game?
No, Bowling Green was.
Oh, Bowling Green. You were at Bowling Green. Gotcha.
There you go. I sent it to you. So if I don't know if you can post it up, I don't know.
I'll try to pull it up here in a second. Why did all these domes that went up that were not that old, the Hoosier Dome, the Silver Dome, the Metro Dome, boom, they did not last long at all, and they were gone. Why was that?
Premium seating.
Oh.
You know, premium seating was not really a thought any time, you know, back in the 70s and 80s. You had a press box. And if you know, in college football, you know, I've had the honor of with the teams that I was with. I think one game I went, Indiana, Kevin Wilson's first game, I remember, was in, Lucas Oil. But I've had the pleasure of being in games in Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Tampa Bay. And the thing that you notice right away is the media seating is almost on the end zone. And the prime seats are right in the middle. And so, again, it's kind of like the NBA, which you don't see any media on the floor in the NBA. Whereas go back and watch the 1975-76 NBA finals with Boston and Phoenix, and you see the media, everybody right there on the floor. And that's just the only anybody that gets in the middle is the TV networks right now.
Trust me. I know. generally sitting. Yeah,
you had to be my friend to get a good seat. You know, well, I came up with a lot of, you know, one, you had to attend press conferences. Two, you had to travel on the road. And if you didn't, and I didn't like you, not that I didn't like you, but if you were fair weather, you didn't, you know, and that was especially true on the baseline for, because a lot of times, my dear friends at the Indy TV stations, they're into Colts right now. And obviously they're doing a great job covering IU football. But the thing that I see more than anything is they wouldn't come out until like Purdue, and they would want it on the floor. And I said, yeah, it's going to be really hard. Really hard. But enough about that, man. Let's talk sports.
Well, like plenty of it coming up. Indiana on the hardwood tonight as they get their first test of the season. Kansas State, a team that has already looked good. Indiana has been playing a little slowly, I guess you'd say. But I think that they're going to ramp it back up. We had an opportunity to talk to Darren DeVries yesterday. You could tell he's just confident in his team. He's not putting that clip I just played. He's not putting undue pressure on his guys. He's giving them the freedom to do what they need to do.
Again, we want what I call is we want instant. We want to say right now where this team or where any team is today. Okay. Now I'm going to, again, you and I are, we, you know, again, you and I, I'm going to go to something you just said. Their first test. No, their first test was Marquette. It's not, and everybody forgets. There you go. 2003. Christmas, we spent a week in Detroit at Dearborn. The kids got to hang out with the players, went bowling, because they had a night where Northwestern and Bowling Green went to a bowling alley. They had dance-offs. They had a game room and an unbelievable hospitality room for the adults. Ooh. In Detroit. But we spent 6 days in Detroit, which was about an hour and a half from our house. And that's the picture that we took. That's Chris. Look at Chris on the bottom. He's taller than all of us now.
For those of you listening on the radio, that we've got a picture popped up of JD that he was talking about from back in the day. Man, always fun times. It looks like that was one of those.
We did win. Now, we beat Northwestern twice. We own the Big Ten.
At Bowling Green. He's talking about when he was at Bowling Green as the SID. Hey, no doubt, man. Wins are wins. So now Indiana basketball rolling forward, taking on Kansas State tonight, like I said. They've got some great games coming up. Louisville and Kentucky. And then how about this, JD? This, especially being in the former position you were in. First of all, the day that they play the Big Ten championship is the same day that the basketball team plays Louisville. Mm-hmm. Then the day that Indiana basketball is in Rupp Arena, or the evening, the same time at 7:30 on Saturday, the week later, December the 13th, is also the same time as the Heisman Trophy presentation in New York. And I'm like, oh, man, you talk about torn allegiances. Where would you rather be at the first Indiana-Kentucky basketball game in a decade, or potential historical Heisman Trophy winning situation in New York?
If I was working with football, I'd obviously want to be in New York. But if I'm working basketball, Rupp Arena, those matchups, were, you know, we didn't play them very close when at that time that we were last there, but it's still, you kind of like to go. And the only place I ever regret that I didn't get to go that I think Indiana did get to go was to play in the Palestra. But I've been to most every.
You know, played there last year.
Yeah.
I didn't go, and I regret that as well.
And I would have wanted to go to Pauley Pavilion.
But well, that's coming up.
Well, but again, those, you know, that's where.
But these are two. I'm just thinking that the Heisman Trophy, especially because I think Fernando is going to win, but that's just historic.
I agree with you, but it's today. It's today. And.
But so is the Indiana-Kentucky game, and there's going to be another one next year.
Yeah, but I don't sit there and look at everybody's got one. The vote is in today. No, it's not. Doug Flutie, baby. Doug Flutie. And
well, it's got the votes have to be in by the 8th. I think they announced the finalists on the 8th.
Well,
which is 2 days after the conference championships.
Yeah, but again, when you got the people that you have, when you have the people voting that you have, I would say this, a lot of bias.
That's why they have so many though regions. Because you're going to have regional bias, no doubt, yeah. And because it happens, which that happens in the AP poll somewhat. That's why you spread it out.
Yeah.
But they definitely spread it out, and they spread it out, and not just media. You've got media. You've got former winners, and I don't know who all is allowed to be in the parameters of the Heisman voters, but they give a good cross section of it. Other than when Anthony Thompson got screwed because Indiana missed the damn field goal and had a losing record, and they don't give Heisman trophies to guys on teams with losing records.
That's, you know, again, unless you're Paul Hornung at Notre Dame, but you play
only guy Dame. Ever. Only yeah. guy, exactly because he played yeah. for Notre Dame. Exactly. Yeah. The yeah. golden boy. But how crazy is it how close Anthony Thompson got to winning the Heisman with being on a losing team?
Well, it says a lot. Again, that position, as we say, back
and
in
as
the day,
a running back,
that nobody cared. No quarterbacks weren't even part of the equation in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you think of all the great running backs at USC, you think of Archie Griffin, the game, it's changed. It's changed. Who's the best running back in the NFL?
Right now, Jonathan Taylor, maybe, or Derrick Henry.
I have no idea. I couldn't name five NFL running backs right now. But
the life of a running back in the NFL is about 3.5 years. That is the average lifetime of a running back in the NFL. They don't last long.
Right. And so again, like you're talking about everything evolving and changing, and how college probably doesn't evolve and change quite like the NFL or other professional sports. Like college athletics is very slow and reactive, which is why they're in some predicaments where now I think people don't even consider Maui and the Bahamas here on Thanksgiving weekend to be, these are okay tournaments. And everybody right now is in the greatest city in the world, the sports capital of the world. This week playing, which is Las Vegas, Nevada.
Indianapolis, baby.
Capital of the world now.
They are damn sure trying to be. I guarantee you that.
Did anybody else have a Grand Prix this weekend? You had the Grand Prix. No. You had the Raiders.
Indiana's had a Grand Prix.
You had everybody.
Did they have an Indianapolis 500 this weekend?
when the Indianapolis 500 goes on, I don't think there's much else. And that's a great. Look.
I'm kidding.
I'm very loyal to Indianapolis.
I know. I'm just messing. I'm just having fun. Yeah. Las Vegas has gone from being persona non grata, not allowed, buddy. No sports organization was. They were don't touch. No, right. No, because of the game. Now it's like, come on, let's build stadiums. Let's get this team in. Let's roll NCAA. It's all good. What's up next for you, brother?
We're going to South Bend. We're going to Detroit. We leave tomorrow. Right after the game, we're going to come back home. And so I'll be back Thanksgiving night around when I get back, because I thought it'd be better.
So what about Thanksgiving dinner? What
Wednesday?
How is that?
Wednesday.
Oh.
Which I did that again. My grandfather was a cab driver and he drove on Thanksgiving Day. So we always had Thanksgiving on Wednesday night. So, you know, didn't matter.
That's funny. Was a cab driver in Vegas?
Yeah, he was a cab driver in Vegas. And
oh man, that's back in the day, man.
Yellow cab.
That is back in the day. There was no Uber. There was nothing but yellow cab.
Checker cab was another one.
Wave them down, baby. Snap that finger.
Cab. You know, all those. And you know, sometimes I will take a cab just out of loyalty to my grandfather instead of getting an Uber or something like that.
It's a dying art.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, but, you know, after that on the month, after we get back from Detroit, then we become on grandbaby number two watch for the next next month, basically. So I'll be spending a lot of time probably in South Bend, helping my daughter-in-law and my son. And my wife's going to be there. My wife's going to be there, and she's in charge, and I just sit back and order food and play, you know, dance around and turn the music on. And
so, you know, who makes the Thanksgiving meal?
Oh, my wife makes the best Thanksgiving meal. I cook everything else in the house. I cook 350 days of the year.
But when it's time for the big time, they call in the professional.
She, you know what? She just, that is her signature. And I can't get enough. Last night, I'll tell you what I did last night. The family tradition that I have is my grandmother would bake chocolate chip cookies. We always had chocolate chip. We had oatmeal. We had peanut butter with a Hershey Kiss. And what I would do is I would take the chocolate chip cookies, throw them in a bowl, and pour milk on them and eat like cookie cereal. That was, but see, Nestle owes me a lot of money. I came up with that idea. If Al Gore invented the internet, I invented Cookie Crisp. And that's kind of you know, my thing. And I took a video last night and sent it to my granddaughter. I said, see what you've got to look forward to? Because when
craziness. JD Campbell, appreciate you, my friend, as always.
Have a safe holiday. Hoosiers by 13 tonight.
There you go. And safe travels to and fro. Enjoy the Turkey Day football. I'm jealous. Enjoy it.
Like I say, I've got the earplugs ready to go.
We're back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio after these messages. Bill Bender joins us, and I couldn't be give any more thanks. Thank you, sir, for joining us, as always.
Hey, how's it going, Jim? Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, brother. What you got? Big Thanksgiving meal plans? Are you making the meal, or you got somebody else that does that?
I'll help. Yeah, you know, Kimberly. We'll have the in-laws will be in, I think, tomorrow, and then we'll go down to my sister's house with my mom. And you know, it's always fun. You know, that's the one relaxing day when you get through rivalry week. I mean, as you know, I'm a big Green Bay fan. Jim, I detest when they play on holidays. It's 3 hours that I'd rather be, you know, watching the Lions play the Vikings or whatever, and then I can do, you know, just lounge around the house. But no, Green Bay has to play Detroit in a very important NFC North game. And what are we doing? We'll see what happens in that one.
Yeah, JD Campbell, who was just on with me, is on a lot. He's headed to that game, by the way, ironically. So he'll be enjoying that one. But yeah, lots of games this weekend. Right, you mentioned rivalry week. That a lot of games that are finally important for the SEC. They get off of their cupcake schedule last week of playing Mercer and Troy and Citadel, whoever else they were playing. But yeah, you've some cross-section games, a lot, as a matter of fact. Not that it matters in this situation, Louisville, Kentucky play, but Auburn and Alabama are playing, Georgia Tech are playing. So there's some good crossover games that are going to be happening. The Iron Bowl, that's going to determine who plays in the SEC championship potentially if A&M were to lose to Texas. So there's another one. So yeah, it's just a whole bunch of games that are set up to set up what happens next.
You know, what one of the more intriguing things about this week to me is that Black Friday is every bit as good as Saturday. You know, we're going to sit there for 3 hours and stare at Lane Kiffin and think, what's he going to do if that doesn't leak? You got Georgia Tech, which was arguably the best game of the year last year, the 8 overtime game, and then Texas and Texas A&M. And I submit to people, as you guys know, I grew up in Columbus, and I've been around Ohio State, Michigan my whole life. There's one rivalry that I think compares. It's Texas A&M, because I think they really do genuinely hate each other. And the angst.
And it goes back so long, too. It goes back to when you could actually hate each other and probably hit each other with sticks and things like that. I mean, seriously, I'm thinking back in the 30s. I'm thinking back when, oh my God, the coach back in the 30s at A&M was, the great Alabama coach.
Bear Bryant. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wasn't he at A&M? Wasn't that the Junction Boys?
Yes.
They were near killing each other back then.
It was real. I think the fact that they're playing on Black Friday, and it goes back to what the nature of this sport's all about. You know, Texas A&M could go to the college football playoff, but if Texas beats them and prevents them from going to the SEC championship game, that's going to be the yeah but. And it's the yeah but of Ohio State's national championship last year. They did win the national title. That's the most important thing. But if you make that T-shirt, the Michigan game, they're not putting that game on there, you know, because obviously Michigan was able to beat them. I don't know if the Wolverines will be able to duplicate that this year. I think that Ohio State defense might be a little bit too tough. But that's why I love this week. You have those moments, pettiness, anger, angst. It's what this game, this week is all
Indiana
about.
Indiana sits right in one of those games.
Yep.
The yeah, but right there, 12-0 season, but they played Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. If they don't win that game, is it going to be one of those yeah buts for Indiana?
Maybe, but maybe not, because I think we've been building this game up for about a month and a half now. So if I'm just kind of like, thank goodness there's a Big Ten championship game worth watching. You know, I thought Penn State, Oregon, maybe I'm shortchanging that a little bit last week. It was a really – last year, that was a really good game, but it was on during the ACC championship game, and that team was actually going to the playoff. When you have two undefeated teams playing for something, it's just a little more special. It's probably the best Big Ten championship game since Michigan State and Iowa, and they were both playing for something, and people be like, why would you watch Michigan State, Iowa? Well, that game went right down to the final drive, you know, and Michigan State ends up winning, going to the playoff. And I think that's great for the conference, and that's going to be a great stage, because we're all curious, Jim, can Indiana actually run with these guys this year? You know, what's changed from last year's game? And I think a lot has.
Yeah, well, yesterday we met with Kurt Cignetti, and one of the first things he said was that Elijah Surratt back, expected to play. Mikhail Kamara on the defensive line back, expected to play. Frankie, I think, is close, the kicker, which that was an odd injury. Boy, I still remember that. He kicked the ball off straight to the ground. Non-contact injury, just kicking the ball. But the biggest name is going to be Drew Evans, the right side offensive lineman who they have lost for, I don't know, it's been 6 weeks or more right now. And I asked him yesterday, you know, about these injured players. You've got this Purdue game, but normally you would have time after that off. Well, now you don't. You got to go right into the biggest game in program history. And I was wondering, how do you manage these guys that injury-wise? And all his response was, all we're thinking about is Purdue. So there you go. Got the coach response. But I am curious. I think that Surratt is probably 100% plus. I think he's just ready to go. So I think they'll just run him. And the same probably with Kamara. Evans, man, I don't know if they just hold him until the CFP, because you still have another 3 weeks of extra time if they can get by. But can they win a Big Ten championship without their best lineman? We'll find out one way or the other.
Well, it becomes a little bit like the NFL, you know, like Ohio State, for example. They've rested Carnell Tate for a couple weeks there, and then that leads to speculation about what his injury really is. Jeremiah Smith sat out. I've always wondered, when we get to the point you're playing Purdue this week and you're talking about sitting key players against Purdue for the next game. And that's what college football's become again. You know, Ohio State, there'll be a day where you're like, should Jeremiah sit against Michigan because we're going to need him for the playoff run? NFL teams do it all. We don't blink when Jordan Love sits against the Bears in week 17, like he did last year after he left after one series. You and I would never blink if that was the case, but we do that. We may get to a point where we do that in college football because they're playing 15 and 16 games now.
Yeah, it's crazy how it will break out and how matchups. Well, last year's a perfect example. Who was Oregon the number one seed?
Yeah, Ohio State and Tennessee played to play Oregon.
But Oregon got screwed in the draw they ended up getting, it seemed like, the tougher draw. So, yeah, it did. But that's probably won't happen this year since the seedings have changed, I guess, maybe. But here's an oddity. What about the possibility, and I know it would take whatever, but Indiana playing JMU? Because everybody's asking and looking for the next Kurt Cignetti. Well, he might be at JMU right now, because Chesney's name is getting a lot of buzz, rightfully so, because he's kept that program buzzing, but he's kept it buzzing knowing with the facts that Kurt Cignetti left, took the staff with him, and took the core of players. So Chesney kind of had to, you know, re-jump the program, but buddy, they haven't missed a beat. So he should be getting looked at.
Absolutely. I mean, and Penn State should be taking a long look at him, honestly, because a lot of those guys that Penn State was looking at
and he's signed extensions. Guy.
Yeah, there you go. So what a fun matchup that would be for you guys in your part of the country, because it would be the Kurt Cignetti Bowl, JMU, Indiana. Somebody gets to move on. I'm not saying I want Indiana to lose to Ohio State by any means, but that would be a fun, fun matchup in the first round or second round if it got to it. But I think the Dukes, unfortunately, are in a little trouble, because it just looks like they're going to take the American Conference champion, whether it's Tulane, North Texas, Navy, whoever. Tulane seems to have the drop on the rankings, which, again, Tulane and North Texas, their coaches, John Summerall, Eric Morris, popular candidates to be the next coach at some of these SEC schools. It truly has been, Jim, I've been doing this for a while. It's been one of the more wild college football years, with the combination of the coach carousel and this playoff race and the upheaval in the sport. It's been a lot of fun, but it's definitely been one of the more wild years. There's Lane Kiffin holding us all up this week on top of all of it.
Oh yeah, and that's going to still, once that comes out, that's still going to have a reverberating effect that will kind of reverberate throughout the playoffs. Maybe changing matchups. Whether they do they drop? Oh, well, he's going to coach probably. Right. Let's say he's going to leave, but he stays to coach. I don't know that affects them much, but. I've talked about lame duck coaches and how they seem to the teams be ineffective when there's a lame duck coach involved.
I think this is the biggest story potentially of the entire season, because I will maintain Mike on, I think he might disagree. If Lane Kiffin announces after the Egg Bowl that he's going to LSU, I don't think he'll coach in the playoff. I think he could even try, but I don't think he will. I also do not believe that Ole Miss should be punished for that. You can't. I mean, you could say, well, they did with Jordan Travis in Florida State. This is a completely different situation. They're 11-1. They should still host a home game. I don't know who their interim coach would be. I just can't see in the SEC having Lane Kiffin be that lame duck coach you're talking about during signing day while being LSU's coach. Because I just don't see Ole Miss fans allowing for it. You and I are both, I think we may have mentioned this last week, it is very Bill Frieder to me.
Yes.
And then Steve Fisher steps in and wins a national championship. That might be a dated reference for some younger fans, but I mean,
I've seen that brought up several times here recently.
It's the exact same thing, because Shem Beckler did the whole the Michigan man's going to coach Michigan thing. Steve Fisher goes and leads them on a Cinderella run through where they beat Seton Hall on the two free throws by Ramil Robinson, and goes on and coaches the Fab Five. Bill Frieder, I believe you. I didn't follow him quite as much. He was pretty successful, but not great at Arizona State, right? He had a decent run there.
And then was it him that ended up at San Diego, or was that?
That was Fisher that ended up at San Diego State. But my point is that
I still don't know why you left Michigan to begin with. Or I don't know what was going on for you to leave that for Arizona State. That was, but
well, you don't make Bo mad apparently back then.
No, you don't.
And then, so if that happens here, what does that say about our sport? That, you know, maybe it's not like the NFL where, you know, the Titans fire a coach and then we wait for the next one. Well,
I'll ask you this, because I will afterwards, I will tell you what Mike's opinion was. Is Lane Kiffin, would he be wrong, since he has a team that is capable of apparently winning the national championship, since they're ranked where they are? I'm not saying that they are capable, but is he wrong? For would he be wrong for leaving that team for another job?
No, I don't think so. Like, it's his life. Like, if Lane Kiffin wants to, if LSU throws $100 million at him and says, you can coach here, it is a better job than Ole Miss. It is. I mean, three of the last four guys to coach there have won national titles, and they've all had different personalities. Does Lane's personal history and exits and all of that factor in? Yes. The SEC shorts episode on this was hysterical, by the way. You got to watch it. Go watch it. I don't want to spoil it for you. It was great. But, you know, I mean, this is also part of this business. Players are transfer portaling during the season. Coaches can leave during the season. This is something that we have to live with. And I know Lane tried to explain that in his press conference Monday in an awkward fashion. But at the same time, not everybody in that locker room feels that way. And Lane needs to understand that. There's a lot of kids that believe in him. And if he leaves during the season, he's going to have to deal with those repercussions. I do think it's pretty 50-50.
Yeah, I don't blame him for leaving either. It's not like he was there for 1 year and left. He's been there for, what, 5 or 6 seasons? He's, you know, he was there long enough to me. And if a better opportunity comes along, or what he perceives as a better opportunity, that's life. That's like if you're a banker, right? And there's no difference, or a, you know, IT czar, you know, somebody comes along and says, dude, Google, we need you. We're going to give you whatever. You're going to go. So, yeah, I think agree.
The committee would knock them out, though, if they lost the Egg Bowl. That would give them that excuse to be like, all right, you're gone. You know what I mean?
Oh, out completely. They already have two losses, so that would be a third loss.
That would be their second loss. They're 10-1.
So, you think that they would knock them out being as high as sixth right now?
Depending on, like, Vanderbilt and some of these two-loss teams that could emerge. Man, I mean, it'd be close.
Greg Sankey would send a hitman to the CFP committee so fast that would make their head spin. You think that Rhodes has problems? They'd all have problems. But no, just kidding. But yeah, it'll be interesting. That's just another interesting facet that's going to come out of this. But it's coming. We're getting closer and closer to the determining who these guys are going to be. We're a week away, basically, from the college football championships. Are these for Indiana and Ohio State, Bill Bender from the Sporting News with me, how beneficial or detrimental is playing in that game for either of those teams, knowing that you've got a much bigger fish to fry?
I've been on this one for a couple years. I think, to me, the conference championship games have dwindled in value. And, you know, you could make the basketball comparison, but it's just not the same as the Big Ten men's basketball tournament where, you know, Wisconsin and Purdue will play on Sunday and it's fun and it's competitive. I'm not diminishing the quality of this game. I'm super excited to watch Indiana and Ohio State. But the downside for me is, man, I might watch this in a semifinal 3 weeks from now.
It's always a blast, and it's my pleasure and honor. Make sure you're giving Bill a follow, Bill Bender with the Sporting News. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. That's going to wrap it up for us today, everybody. We appreciate you. We're back tomorrow to do it again. Indiana basketball tonight. We'll see you later. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.